going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Do the Ravens hit on their 11 draft picks? Let's talk about that. Bob Hattie, Vince Rotto, Nolan McGraw from the Baltimore Sun on the Window Nation guest hotline. Brian Wacker. Brian, good morning. How was your draft weekend?
Long. Not as long as the Ravens, though, with 11 picks.
All right, Mike Green, he gets picked second round. That's become a hot-button topic. Also, the heir apparent, it seems, to Justin Tucker as well, and the Loop kid from Arizona. So those two and the correlations between the allegations with both Green and Tucker and, you know, everything that brings it. It wouldn't be a draft, I guess, if there wasn't some sort of drama involved.
Yeah, look, I think no one was surprised, starting with the kicker, that the Ravens decided to draft Tyler Loop. He was their top kicker on their board, apparently, really the only one, according to Eric DaCosta, that they really coveted. And, you know, they made not so obvious, you know, hints or very obvious hints. You know, all spring, really, that they were going to draft a kicker. I mean, they looked at kickers in the draft. They flew senior special teams coach Randy Brown all over the country to look at kickers. They had kickers working out for them, including Tyler Loop. So, you know, it's not a surprise, obviously, given the circumstances surrounding Justin Tucker and being under investigation by the NFL for the sexual misconduct allegations. So, look, I think this is an organization that has never drafted a kicker. They drafted a kicker. I think the writing is on the wall on that front. And then Mike Green, look, this is a guy who, by all accounts, was a top 10, top 15, top 20 type of player. So you just look at the football aspect of it, and it's tremendous value. Of course, some teams didn't even have him on their draft board, completely taken off their draft board because of those off-the-field concerns and the two prior sexual assault allegations, one stemming back to high school, one stemming back to his early college career and being dismissed from University of Virginia and then landing at Marshall University. So certainly a lot of controversy, to say the least, surrounding that pick, especially when they've been so outspoken about a sort of perceived no-tolerance policy. Of course, they've clarified that, saying you don't really have a no-tolerance policy. Each case is viewed on its own, but now that's, you know, sort of stressed as well.
I would say, Brian, that Steve Bisciotti had to give the okay for that one.
Yeah, I would think so. And look, certainly, again, I think they're willing to take, you know, look, I just think they're like every other team in the NFL, or like a lot of other teams in the NFL. They are willing to take the gamble, and, you know, they clearly felt comfortable. Comfortable was a word Eric DaCosta used multiple times this weekend when referring to Mike Green. Comfortable with their due diligence. We'll have to wait and see, because, you know, clearly there's some concerns there with him, and the Ravens, you know, the production I think they just looked at it and said, look, this is a guy who's a tremendous football player at a position of need, badly at edge rusher. You know, no disrespect to Kyle Van Noy and Adafi Owe. They had tremendous seasons last year. But, you know, those guys are probably not, you know, players that defenses are scheming against necessarily. So that's what the Ravens hope they got here in Mike Green. Now, of course, they, you know, the hope is they believe that their culture, keeping him around, you know, with the group of guys in that locker room and that organization, that, that things will be okay. I, you know, it's a wait and see.
Now, Brian, I would expect the Ravens to bring in a veteran kicker, too, to bring competition for Luke.
Sure, that would not be a surprise. And I think if that happens, look, you know, then that really is the writing on the wall, right? If you're bringing in yet another kicker, but I think by all accounts, they really like the Luke kid. I know Mel Kiper had him as his top kicker on the board, a couple other guys, Andres Borgalis, I believe, is the only other kicker drafted, as well as there was some interest in the kid out of FSU. So, you know, but I look, moving forward, I would expect Tyler Luke to be, unless something goes, you know, terribly wrong in his rookie minicamp and beyond, I would expect him to be the Ravens kicker next season.
Now, what did you think of the O-line drafted guys? What did you think of, like, Emory Jones?
Yeah, there's a guy they view as a swing tackle that, you know, could play guard, could play tackle, potentially sort of be that next version of Patrick McCary. I think it's a solid pick. I still think, look, they didn't add a lot of offensive linemen in this class. They added three of them, but, you know, a couple of those are projects. Carson Vinson out of Alabama A&M, more of a true tackle. Garrett Dillinger, the guard out of LSU, another, you know, a seventh-round pick, clearly a project there. I think you're going to see them add some guys. I know they had some guys, some undrafted free agents as well. I think you'll, you know, see them kind of scour the veteran market. But I think certainly, at least for the time being, I think it's probably good news for Andrew Voorhees. I think he's probably the front runner for that left guard spot at the moment. And their hope is, you know, that they can develop some of these guys. That sort of always seems to be the approach, right? That they just, it's a numbers game. They bring in, you know, as many offensive linemen as they can, and they figure, look, we're going to be able to get the number of guys out of a large group that we ultimately need.
Now, what are you expecting on Sunday when we get a chance to go out there, Brian, watch the first day of rookie minicamp?
Well, certainly there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on the two guys that you mentioned earlier, Mike Green, certainly, and of course the kicker, Tyler Loop. So to me, those are far and away, along with Malachi Starks, of course. Let's not forget that, their top pick.
Oh, that guy?
I don't think, yeah.
There's no questions about him, on the field, off the field, by all accounts, a really, really, you know, top pick. I mean, this is kind of in the vein of a Kyle Hamilton, if you will, in a lot of ways, maybe a small, you know, smaller version of Kyle Hamilton, but a guy who checks all the boxes on and off the field, versatility, can sort of play all over the field. I think that gives the Ravens something they really, really need desperately in that secondary, which is one of the worst in the NFL last year. Second half of the season, turnaround aside, you know, they really struggled, I think, against the pass, and this certainly is an upgrade there.
Brian Wacker, Baltimore Sun. Brian, real quick, because we know you're pressed for time, as we are as well. Any standouts among the undrafted free agent class that you guys were writing about today?
No, I don't. You know, look, I think there's no, you know, there's no Keaton Mitchells in that class. There's no, you know, guys, I think, yet that are going to come in. I think one guy to keep an eye on that'll be interesting, Aeneas Peebles, the sixth-round pick at Virginia Tech, smaller, unique body size for a defensive tackle, but a guy who has a high motor, great quickness, good speed. So it'll be interesting to see how he factors in. Again, you know, one of the ways to fix your secondary is to have a great pass rush, and I think that's their hope there, with certainly Mike Green and potentially Aeneas Peebles.
Brian Wacker, Baltimore Sun. Brian, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy, I guess, this relaxing Monday in your world, and we'll talk to you soon, of course.
Thanks. See you Sunday, Brian.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. Brian Wacker. We'll come back, whip around. Busy weekend in the world of the NBA and the Stanley Cup playoffs. You don't want to miss any of that. Then we'll preview the Yankees Orioles from a Yankees perspective. Caldera from the Bergen Record. He makes his return to the show. How about New York? They're in first place. All is right with the world there, or is it?
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport. Every game.
Everything. Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
Time for the Whip Around. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. Orioles, Yankees coming up. 6:35 tonight, Camden Yards. Pete Caldera, Bergen Record. Preview the series with him. Talk about New York's life. They do have some closer issues, it seems, at the back end of that bullpen. But that Max Fried turned out okay for them. Luckily, the Orioles will miss him, but we'll get into that as the show rolls on. Draft is over, as we've talked about multiple times, and we'll continue to do so. But let's get into a little Stanley Cup fun. After losing on Friday night, the Capitals and Canadiens, game four in Montreal, and things didn't, I don't want to say they looked bleak for the Capitals, but they were behind, and all of a sudden they weren't, and in a big way.
3:45 remains in regulation. Strome, crisscrossing, closing, Mangiapane scores! Andrew Mangiapane with a snapshot sizzler!
Joe B on the call, monumental.
Yeah, that was a hell of a shot because he was coming down and he had Ovi off to the right side, you know, and it was kind of almost, it was like 2-on-1, and he looked over to Ovi, you know, and then he shot and scored, which was, you know, which was an awesome shot because it was, gave the Caps the lead, then they got two empty netters. But, I mean, Montreal only had 18 shots, and they had two power play goals. 5-on-5, the Caps kicked their butt. And their crowd there, I mean, they got like 21,000, and that place was rocking. And now Caps are up 3-1, got a chance to close it Wednesday night. Carolina's up 3-1 over New Jersey. They got a chance to close it, I think it's Tuesday night. And that's who the Caps would play if they won and if Carolina wins. So kind of like chalk then on that one.
Yeah, Caps, as Vinny said, a win away from advancing Wednesday night puck drop in D.C. Looking to close things out. Also in the Stanley Cup playoffs yesterday, the Blues 5-1 over the Winnipeg Jets. That series tied at two games apiece.
Yeah, and Winnipeg won the President's Cup for, you know, having the best record in hockey. Now, St. Louis is not a bad team. So, you know, they won their two at home. They won their two. Now they got to go back to Winnipeg. And now the series starts.
As you mentioned, Carolina 5-2 over the Devils. Hurricanes up 3-1 in that one. It was Edmonton in overtime. 4-3 over the LA Kings. That series now tied at two.
That's another one, Bob, where the Kings are the best team in hockey at home and not so good on the road. And Edmonton, they won both games at home. Kings won both games at home. So we go back to L.A. for a game, back to Edmonton for a game, back to L.A. for would be game seven. So having home ice advantage in this series seems to be big.
Tampa's at Florida. The Panthers lead that series 2-1, trying to take a commanding lead, trying to defend that Stanley Cup championship.
Now, this one's like total opposite, Bob. Florida won both games at Tampa. Tampa won the only games thus far at Florida. So we'll see how this one. But Tampa finally got it going a little bit. And because their power play, Tampa's a good power play. They just couldn't get it going. And then they kicked Florida's butt yesterday or Saturday.
Colorado at Dallas, that series tied it too.
Another one where home games. You know, Dallas is tough at home. And Dallas has been getting good goaltending. So Colorado, they got McKinnon and McCarr. They got some of the best players in hockey. And Dallas going to be a really tough out. And everybody said that, you know, Colorado and Dallas, you know, that was going to be the toughest, most competitive series. And probably is.
NBA playoffs yesterday afternoon. The Knicks and Detroit played a spirited game back and forth. New York was on them early. Pistons took a pretty significant lead. But the Knicks win 94-93, not without controversy. Cade Cunningham missed a 15-footer that would have won the game, or at least put him up late. Then the ball rolls out to Tim Hardaway Jr. for a three. He was fouled by, Josh Hart got him. He's in the air. Pool reporter said after the game, should have been a foul.
Yep.
Nothing like the refs admitting after the fact that they boned you.
Oh, yeah.
Detroit got boned.
Yeah, and it was in Detroit.
Yeah.
You know, and like they didn't leave the bench. They was like, where the hell's the foul?
3-1 Knicks now lead that series. Jalen Brunson, 32 in the win there. It was Boston 107-98 against the Orlando Magic. Jason Tatum, 37 points, 14 boards, 3 assists, 3 steals. Celtics commanding 3-1 there. Indiana beat Milwaukee 129-103. Dame Lillard looks like he tore his Achilles, so he's going to be done, obviously, for the series and maybe for most of 2025-26. Tyrese Halliburton, 17 points, 8 boards, 15 assists. As the Pacers are up 3-1, and it was Minnesota. Speaking of controversy over Dallas, or over the Lakers, rather, 116-113. Ant-Man had 43. Minnesota leads 3-1. LeBron did the old hack attack on Ant-Man. They called a foul, as LeBron said, "Well, the ball, the hand's part of the ball." Referees disagreed, and there you go. So Minnesota taking advantage of the Lakers, and now in a pretty commanding spot. In that one tonight, Cleveland tries to close out Miami. In Miami, up 3-0. Golden State trying to take a commanding lead over Houston. At home, Warriors up 2-1. Saturday, if you missed it, OKC 117-115 over Memphis as they sweep the Grizzlies there. Aaron Wiggins, by the way, had 9 points in the win. So OKC waits for their next opponent. It's the Whip Around video at 81057. The Fan this day in sports history. How about 1988? Orioles lose to the Twins at the Baggy Dome 4-2. 21st consecutive loss.
Whoa.
To start the year. Orioles started 0-21. But how about happier times, Nolan? 2012. Oriole Park, Camden Yards gets the Oakland A's. Chris Davis, 3-for-4 with a homer. 4 ribbies. Wei Yin Chen, 1-7 strong for the win. 10-1 demolition. 2016, also at Camden Yards, 10-2 over the White Sox. Manny Machado hits a grand slam. Chris Davis and Trumbaum go deep. Michael Givens gets the win in relief there. Oh, and Chris Eubank Jr. beat Connor Benn. Unanimous decision Saturday. This day, 1967, Muhammad Ali refused induction into the armed services and was stripped of his heavyweight championship and denied the right to fight for 3 years. His prime years taken away for making a stand. But the greatest still is the greatest in this humble opinion. Yankees right now on top of the American League East. We'll talk about them. Pete Caldera, Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw, more of your phone calls. News from the Nest, top of the hour. Going to hear from Eric DaCosta and some of the newest Ravens. Problem with the Yankees, however, has been Devin Williams, who they traded for from Milwaukee. And like Emmanuel Classe in Cleveland, who struggled against the Yankees in the playoffs, these two guys have not been the same. Like a boxer, when you get chin checked and you get exposed for maybe being somewhat of a glass jaw kind of guy. For instance, Mike Tyson was knocked out 5 times. Once Buster Douglas exposed maybe whatever weaknesses he may have had in taking a punch. They got chin checked, Williams and Classe, in the playoffs last year in trying to regain things. Now, the Yankees traded Nestor Cortez, among others, to the Brewers to make this trade go down. So as the Orioles are struggling with pretty much every aspect of their team, the Yankees now have some bullpen problemos, and a Weaver could possibly be the guy that takes over. We'll find out tonight if there is a safe situation. And the Orioles, their safe situations have been few and far between here this season. But we'll see who gets the baseball if, in fact, the Yankees are in a spot where they can close out a game against the Orioles. Orioles just need to put crooked numbers on the board. Well, actually, after yesterday, a number on the board. They have to hit with runners in scoring position. I get it. It's a long season. They've been banged up by injuries. You know, their ebbs and flows, whatever cliches we want to use here. And look, Kowser's been out for 3 weeks now. So you're forgetting that your left fielder, second in the rookie of the year, leadoff hitter, oftentimes, he hasn't played since the Toronto series, which was the first series of 2025. But then again, to combat my own argument, well, the guy that won the Rookie of the Year, Luis Gil, for the Yankees, hasn't thrown a pitch this year. And yet here they are, still in first place. They did go out and get Max Fried, who's 5-0, as a free agent.
Well, look at all the guys, Bob, for the Orioles that are having underachieving years hitting the ball.
Outside of Cedric Mullins, throw a dart and hit the lineup.
Exactly.
I mean, Westberg's been banged up. He tweaked the hammy. Adley, after the opening day extravaganza, he hasn't really done all that great. His expected stuff is supposed to be good. Ty Sepps, Tyler O'Neill, who hits a home run on opening day every year, no matter who he plays for, he's now on the IL, and he was kind of an underachiever. And let's be honest, this Gold Glove outfield stuff in St. Louis when he played left field, not really translating here in Baltimore so far. And I don't even need to bring up the rotation, do I?
No.
Outside of Sagano, who bulldog, and then Povich's last start was fine. And, and look, Kramer.
No, the walks.
That's the same thing with Morton kills himself. Ooh. Inability to keep the ball over the plate. But you know, the rotation was a weak spot going into the year and got weaker with the injuries. I'm not telling you anything you already don't know. But the offense, their offense is offensive right now.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Will Warren's like, I'm going six strong tonight.
They can't get a clutch hit, Bob.
And the power, where's all that? Remember last year, the Orioles, Yankees, Dodgers, they were the main thumping teams among run production and homers and OPS. And I mean, that seems like a distant
Gunner memory. Had what, 44 last year?
44 what?
Home runs?
37. Feels like it's been 44 months since he hit his last one. And he was DH yesterday, and he's been doing that. All you see, watching him on the tube, you see that Henderson number two just kind of trudging back to the dugout.
Well, you know, things are crazy, Bob, when nobody can get a hit, everybody's striking out. Mateo gets two hits off Scooble.
Yeah, and stole two bases. Did his thing. All right, let's get out to the phone. Sports at 583-1057 is the number. We'll talk more Orioles with Peter Schmuck from BaltimoreBaseball.com. Draft is over. Brian and Owings Mills wants to talk about it. Brian, thanks for holding. What's up?
Hey, guys. What's going on, man?
Not much.
A little of this, a little of that.
A little. I'm happy, you know, got my guy. But didn't like the fact that they traded their fourth. They had two fours, and they traded for another six. What was that about? Tennessee. Vinny, I would have loved to have seen them take Noah, the center, out of USC. The guy can play three positions. I would have loved to see them pick them at that spot. I didn't like the Buchanan pick up.
Buchanan?
Yeah, I didn't like the I like Chris Paul Jr. better, you know, out of Ole Miss. And the Rams picked him. And I was just like, yeah, of course they would. And then also my guy from the T-tackle from Nolan from our Ole Miss, goes to start of the third round, goes to the Giants. Go figure, right? So, like, I was kind of pissed. Most of my guys. And then how the Ravens not draft James Jordan? That guy's a beast, man. Contact, he initiates it. I mean, he reminds me of Jamal, just not as big as Jamal. You know what I mean? Jamal Lewis just initiates contact. Good speed, good hands. And they just, I don't know, man. It's like they went to bed. I don't know.
So are you happy with the draft or no?
I'm hearing
a lot of complaining here.
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying there was some opportunities there to address the situation, like the center position. I mean, I'm not a Lindenball guy anyway, and you're going to have to pay this guy next year. You got a guy that played 12 starts at center, you know, 18 starts at right tackle, 12 starts at left tackle at a UFC. You take that guy. You know, 6'4", 302, you watch the tape on him, good feet, Benny, good punch, can move, and he's and scream.
How big's his butt?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Bubble butt?
He got a bubble butt?
I don't care. Guy can play. I ain't looking at his ass. I'm looking at his playing ability. Oh, what you guys are doing?
Well, guys with good players in the old line have bubble butts, you know, because you want to have that big ass. You don't want to have a flat ass.
No flat back.
No, you want a flat back. You don't coming off the ball.
Oh, I mean flat backside.
Yeah, you don't
or
want
am
that
I talking
flat
about football
ass.
Or dancers? What are we talking about here?
No. But, like,
with all due respect to Brian, and Brian, we love you. Linderbaum, like a two-time Pro Bowler. Oh, and
he's what, 26?
Come on. You're not a Linderbaum fan, but a lot of other people are, including the people that run the Ravens. But we'll come back, take a trip to the Funhouse, Nolan McGraw. Going to hear from Eric DaCosta and some of the drafted players as we get to the 12 o'clock hour. Now, Brian didn't like the kid out of Cal, Teddy Buchanan, but Rob earlier said, hey, apparently he could be the dude that might start next to Roquan Smith when it's all said and done. Buy or sell, where's the Monday money if you had a busy weekend spending some cash? Hopefully you get some of it back today. And then Peter Schmuck talking about those Orioles from BaltimoreBaseball.com. Last place in the American League East. Only Colorado and the White Sox are worse than the Birds right now. Talked to Brian Wacker earlier in the hour. It looks like Justin Tucker may have kicked his last football for Baltimore in one, no matter what plays out here in the eyes of the NFL.
I would assume that too, Bob. I would guess that. Now, when you look at the overall 11 picks, how many of them, you know, I think Starks, Green, and possibly Loop, those three have a chance to be starters for them, which is good on a really good football team. Now, everybody else after that, we'll see. The old lineman, you know, one has no chance to help him this year. He's total project.
And that's Carson Vinson.
Yeah, Carson Vinson is a total project. The other two, Emery, I think, has a chance. Bob, he's going to provide depth for them. George Warhops, he's got three dudes, you know, that he's got a chance to really mold all three. He's an athlete. He's got the best chance to be an eventual starter down the road. And if you're taking somebody in the third round, that's what you got to hope for.
Orioles taking on the Yankees tonight, 6:35, first pitch. Baltimore Baseball Tonight brought to you by Jerry's Home Services, 5:30. Me, Jim Hunter, Joe LaCroix, we're going to be live from Pickles. Come on down, say hello. It's going to be a long week. We got four games this week down at Pickles, so come on down and say hi. Kansas City coming to town, rematch of last year's wild card sweep at the hands of the Royals. Orioles got sent home quietly, and the offense has been a problem all season long, as we've spoken about many, many times. But let's bring Nolan in. Quick draw, how are you feeling today?
Feeling good today. It's a busy day. There's a lot to get into with the Orioles and the Ravens, but we're ignoring maybe the biggest story of the weekend. This whole Bill Belichick thing.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell? I mean, we talked about it a little bit off the air, but if you haven't seen it, did a sit-down interview with CBS
Sunday morning.
And there's a lot of clips that have gone viral from this because it's not just him in the interview one-on-one, but his girlfriend, his very young girlfriend, that has made headlines.
Younger than my daughter.
Yeah, was she 24?
Literally. Yes.
It's a little crazy, but I mean, up until now, nothing really beyond just the age difference was kind of called into question. But I mean, she's interrupting this interview, dictating what can and can't be talked about.
Questions being asked. Give me a beer.
And my biggest thing here, again, if you haven't seen the interview, you got to watch it because it's hilarious.
Yeah, I heard clips driving in on Howard Stern, and obviously they were having a field day with it.
Mm-hmm.
But he was in full, because he didn't mention Robert Kraft in his book at all. I mean, were they 26 years together, multiple mm-hmm. championships, whatever it was. And then, you know, asked about the girlfriend and what he does. Hey, if you got it like that, congratulations to you, Bill Belichick. But I don't know, I'm talking about that. And then she comes in and you're doing an interview about a book. What do you think? We're coming here to kiss your ass? This isn't an NFL network. This is CBS. We want to get down to the dirt between them fingernails.
And it is a TV interview, but Bill decides, I mean, he's wearing a Navy sweatshirt. All right, the Navy connection. That's nice. We
USA,
know his past
USA,
and everything.
Baby.
And you are the head coach at North Carolina, right?
That's true. That's a good point.
I didn't even think about
that's
that.
That's a good point. But this thing looks like it's straight out of, I don't even know. I
mean, like Roger Staubach wore that at practice in the early 60s.
I mean, it's game worn. It's got a giant hole right near the collar. It's like, did you even look at yourself in the mirror?
So she kind of controlled the whole thing?
Well, apparently not his wardrobe.
Yeah, no, I mean, she interjected. Well, right. She was obviously, again, I've only heard the audio clips. As they're talking to him, she's right.
She's lurking.
Standing in the, there. Yeah. And it, she Yoko'd him.
Mm-hmm. So Came she wasn't like, where was he? Was he on a couch or something?
So they were, him and the interviewer were just kind of across from each other in high chairs. And that's the only thing that was in the picture.
And then she's off.
She's off camera.
Oh, my God.
And then got on camera.
Yeah.
Right. Now, CBS included the part of her interrupting, and they
of course
said
they did.
We included the one, but apparently this happened throughout the entire interview that she interrupted multiple times. So they said, "Well, we got to include one just to let people know what happened because the interview was totally, compromised at that point."
And Nolan, I apologize. Name of the book is just about winning football. My life as a winner, or something like this, and all of a sudden it went off the rails.
Yeah, should have said with Tom Brady.
How do you not acknowledge Robert Kraft though?
Yeah.
And I did hear the interviewer, and I apologize again, I don't know his name, because I didn't see it, just heard it. You didn't acknowledge Robert Kraft. And it's a book about me and my life experience. Well, I'm assuming Robert Kraft's a very important part of his life experience.
Hired him.
It was, did he not treat you with respect or whatever it was when you were fired? No, I didn't get fired. It was a mutual parting on the ways. Well, Kraft said fired. Again, it was a mutual party. Old Belichick, the one that the media's dealt with for years and years and years, was in full effect on CBS Sunday morning.
That.
Oh, yes, indeed. Anything else, Nolan? Are we going to have Funhouse?
Let's go to the Funhouse.
Let's do it.
Quick Draws Funhouse. Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com. 105.7 The Fan.
This one here talking about Justin Tucker. Texter wants to know, what happens if Tucker looks like his usual self in training camp? Plus, if the league somehow doesn't hand out a punishment, how do they move on from him in favor of an unknown rookie? I think the kicker position is far from resolved.
If all that happened, well, here's the first thing I would say is, I mean, if it's 16, more than likely, I mean, something happened. And I would imagine he'll get some type of suspension. Now, if he got cleared of everything and exonerated of everything, and he'll be back out there kicking.
But, as Brian Wacker said, the fact that they drafted a kicker, which they've never done before,
yep.
I'm going to go ahead and assume that they might have some sort of an idea what the league might be leaning towards in regards to a possible, probable suspension of Justin Tucker.
And to add on to that, Bob, is like their investigators did a hell of a job on Mike Green finding out all this stuff.
That's what Nolan said.
Yeah, so...
Hey, where was the old gumshoe getting in Tucker's business there?
So you know that, like you said, I totally believe what you... They know what happened.
Yeah, I mean,
we got people in this building here that knew this stuff for the last couple years.
I'm raising my hand right now. Somebody told me when he was in his struggle, he's got some personal stuff going on. But
Let's see. Not. This one here on the Orioles, Texter says, the O's will finish dead last in the AL East at this rate, even below Tampa, a team that is probably already looking to sell and retool at the deadline.
Well, they're in last place right now, and if that's an indicator of what these standings might look like, Tampa just swept the Padres, who's been one of the best teams, if not the best team in baseball season long. The Orioles suck, but how about Toronto all of a sudden? You know, they're next to last in home runs. They're paying a guy $500 million to hit home run. Where's Springer? Springer? Where's Bichette? Where's all this high-priced talent they've been paying? I can't rag on anybody because the Orioles are in last place, but I think the Blue Jays might be firing managers before the Orioles do. Let's just put it that way.
And one last one here on the O's. Texter says, the biggest difference to me between the start of last season and the start of this season The Orioles did have themselves in a lot of bad spots early last year, but managed to pull off a lot of clutch comebacks, walk-off wins. This year, there's no late-game fight in the team.
When they were down 3-0, and this is also becoming kind of broken record stuff watching the game, my cousin Al said it might as well be 13-0 right now. And it eventually became 7-0. And to your point, as we've talked about, Nolan, with others that have come on and covered the Orioles, hey, when they were down 3-0 last year at this time, 2 years ago, even the second half of 22, nothing was insurmountable for them. Now it's like hopeless. And I'm not a body language expert, but doesn't exactly look like a team that's fishing and sprinkling, and they sure as hell aren't sucking out of no homer hose because they're not hitting a lot of home runs right now. And you add shaky fielding, injuries, and a less than stellar rotation. What do you have? You have a team that sits at 10-17, 6.5 games out of first place near the end of April. We'll come back, talk about the Ravens, news from the Nest style, talk Orioles with Peter Schmuck, bottom of the hour. He's covered good and bad Oriole teams. Which one is this here in 2025? And in between, let's count some dough. We could all use an extra ducky or two. Buy or sell.